Praise be the names of Jesus and Mary, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Today we celebrate the second part of the manifestation of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, in this period of the Epiphany. We had the visit of the three wise men from the east last week. Today we celebrate the feast of the baptism of Jesus, our Saviour, whereby he cleanses the waters of the River Jordan to bring us new life with the start of his missionary life, frees us from the stain of original sin, baptism, and later on the third day, according to the Gospel of St. John, Jesus reveals himself by making his first miracle at Cana in Galilee. Christ was baptized not that he might be cleansed, but that he might cleanse mankind from sin and reopen the gates of paradise for mankind. Christ fulfills the old law by being circumcised, but initiates the new law at baptism. It is important to note the words of the Gospel account we have just read according to St. John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. These are the words, the most magnificent words we hear at every Holy Mass just before we unite ourselves in Holy Communion with the Lord. This is the first time in the Gospel when Jesus is mentioned as the Lamb. St. John applies to Jesus the messianic prophecy we read in Isaiah 53 on the suffering servant. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. This great sacrament of baptism, which we can celebrate today, is the gateway for all of the sacraments. We call it the first sacrament. We always need to build on a foundation stone in life. Just as charity is the queen of all virtues, it cannot exist by itself. It too needs the foundation stone of humility. Likewise, just as St. Thomas of Aquinas, the great doctor of the Church, describes the Eucharist as the sacrament par excellence and the sacrament of sacraments, because this sacrament is Jesus Christ himself, it too needs the foundation stone of baptism. St. John the Baptist did not institute the sacrament of baptism, for Christ alone could institute a sacrament. Baptism was instituted very probably about the time our Lord was baptized by St. John, and its reception was commanded when, after his resurrection, our Lord, we remember, says these words in Scripture to the apostles, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Going therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Look at what Jesus has won for us by his redemption and the violent death on the cross. The effects of baptism are the remission of sins, of both original personal sins and a new birth in the Holy Spirit. Saint Peter promised his hearers at Pentecost that by baptism they would receive the forgiveness of their sins and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Also, baptism, it remits the punishment due to sin. The imprinting of the baptismal character and the infusion of sanctifying grace, the supernatural, theological and moral virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit, not to mention the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit and the 8 Beatitudes, are dwelling in our soul. The subject is no longer a slave of the devil. Baptism makes the believer an adopted child of God, a sharer in God's nature, a co-heir with Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. Baptism then bestows to the whole organism the gift of supernatural life. This is why we must baptize children as soon as possible, and not wait weeks, or even in the mentality of the world today, they say that we should wait for the child to reach at least the age of reason. How can we delay the reception of such the plenitude of graces? If we know the canon law tells us that we should baptize a child within the first few weeks after birth. Every human being, even a tiny infant, has a soul, and baptism brings God's grace streaming into that soul. We know that grace is defined as a supernatural gift of God. This brings about the indwelling of the Holy Trinity within the baby's soul. The gift of grace is huge. It is unlimited. Sanctifying grace enters the soul during the sacrament of baptism. The one baptized now has, in a new and an extraordinary way, the presence of the Holy Trinity within its soul. Again, how is it possible to delay such gifts to the newborn? In the holy times of past, when Christ reigned, children were baptized immediately. We read that in many stories of the saints. They were baptized as soon as they were born. The fathers or councils of the church agree that the practice of baptizing infants was the customary and appropriate practice since the days of the early church. The only uncertainty seemed to be when exactly an infant should be baptized. Further evidence that infant baptism was the accepted practice in the early church is the fact that if infant baptism had been opposed to the religious practices of the first believers, why do we not have any record in history of the early Christians condemning this in their writings? Consider the richness of the rite also of the baptism in the extraordinary form, and the power of the exorcism prayers to drive out Satan. He is a Christian who has received the holy sacrament of baptism, in which his tongue has been in a certain manner consecrated to God in this baptism. A learned writer says that on the tongue of all who are baptized is placed blessed salt, that the tongues of the Christians may be made, as it were, sacred, and be accustomed to bless God. Also, we ponder on the great mystery of the Holy Trinity today in this manifestation of the baptism of Jesus. We see this beautiful distinction of the three divine persons in the scripture. God the Father, who speaks, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God the Son, who was baptized in person by Saint John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit, who descends in the form of a dove. This mystery is reflected also in the form of the words of the minister of baptism, which he uses to express this Trinitarian form of the sacrament, saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The Blessed Virgin Mary, not to be excluded according to the mystics, was also present in some kind of mysterious way, as always having an interior view of her divine Son, even at the baptism. We thank our Lord then for winning us, for us on Calvary, this amazing sacrament. We thank our Lady for winning for us the grace of baptism as our Mother at Calvary, who collected at the foot of the cross all the drops of blood of our Saviour to give to mankind. All we have to do, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is to humbly ask her for these graces for ourselves, for our families, and for the whole of humanity. Our brothers and sisters, whom we pray that one day will be baptized with this sacrament and receive their inheritance of paradise forever and ever. Amen. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. Amen.